Well, you're glad to be here today.
Amen.
I've got something to tell you. I have two more messages in the book of Nehemiah that will be split up by the Lord's Supper, which will be next week. And I want to commend you for being serious students of the Word of God who want to come hear expositional preaching. I would be kind of lost if you weren't with me on that. And today is no different. I think not only thematically, but systematically, God has ordained, as the flow of these messages have worked out, to be very, very pertinent to the time we were going through in the church. It has never ceased to amaze me, and certainly today is no different. I want to speak to you on the subject of making music. You will find that in the 12th chapter of Nehemiah, beginning in verse 27, and we will work through 47, believe it or not, within the time allotted. But before I go before you with the word, would you bow with me as I go before the Father in prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, how we worship your holy name. We really do want to adore you and love you and worship you in spirit and truth. We see the hindrances and barriers within and without that try to keep us from experiencing the wholeness and totality of our being that results from worshiping God. Oh, Father, we love you today. And the reason we do is exclusively because you first loved us. Now, Father, as we talk about this very important subject, of which the Bible says it is fitting to praise the Lord, give me the words. Let it come from my heart. Give your people receptive hearts. That is our prayer. And as is always the case, we do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and Him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, there is a preacher tradition of standing at the back door to hear the comments of the congregation on the way out. Some like it, some don't. Now, when you've been carrying a burden all week and you've delivered it on Sunday, you're a little vulnerable. And so those little pops can hurt a little more at that time than any other. Also, it can be very affirming and encouraging because of the largeness of this church, I can no longer do that. Got to be honest with you, I really don't miss it. But the fascinating thing about it for me was that as people came out, you told me what you thought about the service. And that's important. I want to know you got something out of the service. It really is. But it dawned on me that perhaps that wasn't the greatest question and certainly not the greatest concern. Maybe it shouldn't be what you thought about the worship service, but what does God think? When we do what we do, when we show up, when we are finished at least with this part and we leave, God, what do you think of the music today? God, were you impressed with that sermon? I mean, I've always known that those of you who are spiritually astute would tell me how great I did when I got through. And those of you who needed growth wouldn't. But the truth of the matter is, we want to be effective. We want to be able to reach you, but it really isn't the most important part. It really is. God, what did you think about the worship today? I mean, after all, it really is about Him. Now, it's interesting to me that we've had what we call in church, it's a little dated term now, but it's still a very pronounced reality of what we call the worship wars in church. It seems that everybody has their particular style of music that they think is the appropriate music of which God ought to be worshipped. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and tell you, I think my taste in music is better than yours. But on the other hand, you think your taste in music is better than mine. You have your choice of music through which you think is appropriate and God ought to be worshipped through it. Now that sounds pretty good. The problem is, I can go out west to a church, and those who are leading the music sometimes have cowboy boots on, a cowboy hat, and are singing country and western music. I can go in other places of the United States and it's high church, just organ and piano. Real high church. That's the stuff I grew up in. High church. Weren't allowed to clap. Afraid to say amen. One time somebody burped and we almost had a stroke. There's others where it's kind of a soulless jazz music. I got to be honest with you, I have a natural affinity towards that, so I like that. And then most all congregations that are with it in this world have been affected by what we know as contemporary rock music. See, something very interesting has happened over the last two decades that has never happened in the history of music. A single genre affected every other genre of music and universalized it. Yeah, what y'all call country today used to be called country and western. They whined. And it started going down the tubes, and it was reinvented by pop rock. They dropped the western. Now it's country. And what you call country music today, in my day, we called Southern Boogie. Where y'all been? Lynyrd Skynyrd and Charlie Daniels, Allman Brothers been doing that for years. And then you have what you call classical jazz and contemporary jazz. Well, where did contemporary jazz come? It was influenced by pop rock and made famous by people like Kenny G. You ever heard of him? And so you've got all these people who have different kinds of music that they prefer and they think is the appropriate music through which God ought to be worshipped. Now this causes a problem. Because you see, music runs very deeply in our souls. Very deeply. We take it personally. Before I was saved, I'm not really proud of this, but I'll go ahead and share it with you. Before I was saved, I loved James Gang, then Joe Walsh, and then Joe Walsh joined the Eagles. And I was with a group of friends, and I said, isn't it great that Joe Walsh joined the Eagles, and aren't the Eagles greater than they've ever been? And someone in that group said, no, I think they stink and have stunk ever since he joined the group. I got so upset, I got up, left the house, got in the car, and went home. Ain't I a big old baby? But the point is, notice what happened. That touched something very personal and deep within me. And so you've got these folks that are into different kinds of music. Folks who feel very deeply about their kind of music. And I've got to let you in on something today that might shock you. A musical note is amoral, meaning it's neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it. How many of you have heard Mighty Fortress Is Our God? Great hymn, isn't it? Huh? For those of you who are aware of it. That was written by Martin Luther. If you ever read the lyrics of it or ever hear someone sing it, Steve Green does a version of it. It just brings tears to your eyes. Powerful. Guess what? Martin Luther wrote the words, borrowed the tune of Mighty Fortress Is Our God from a local barroom tune of his day and made it in the juggernaut of a hymn it is today. And some of you are sitting there, well, I'm not going to sing it anymore. So notice what we have working here. We've got all these folks who have their particular type of music that they think is best, that God ought to be worshipped. They all feel very deeply about it. And they start up with this thing they now call worship wars. So as I looked at the argumentation, I am first a biblicist and second a Southern Baptist. So then I started looking in Scripture and asking God a very important question I thought at the time. God, is there a style of music you prefer? I would really like to know, because a lot of your pontificates are telling me what it is, and it seems to always conveniently be the music they like. He actually answered me. God's a very articulate God. He still speaks. Have you just hauled off and asked Him a question and He answered it? No? I feel sorry for you. He'll talk to you. Talk to Him. Try it. There's only two conditions for worship I can find in all of Scripture. His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and truth. These are the worshipers God seeks. Are you in spirit united with Him? Is it genuine, real, authentic, true? It is the worshipers that God seeks. And it finally dawned on me, folks. It finally dawned on me. Perhaps it's not that important what kind of music we prefer, but what we do with the music that we are attempting to worship God, because that means a whole lot to God. Interestingly, I come upon this biblical text and I start doing my historical study, and I see going way back really from the time of David, an order set forth by God did not decree to us what kind of music, but what He wanted to see wrought, accomplished through the music that we worship God. And it's a pattern. It's divine. It's what God gave. And it's what I'm going to share with you today. It was relevant in a tabernacle. It was relevant in a Solomonic temple. And it is relevant in the temple of the walls dedicated by Nehemiah in this biblical text today. So, without any further chit-chat or ado, let's dig in and check it out. Who am I talking to today? I'm glad you asked. Because possibly I'm not talking to everybody, though indirectly I am. I am specifically talking to those who have been gifted by God to lead the rest of us in worship through music. I am addressing those of you who have the gift of playing musical instruments from a mouth harp. I don't know what that is. That's a mountain thing. Oing, 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 oing. To whatever. And I'm talking to you who have been gifted to sing unto the glory of God. I cannot possibly imagine a greater privilege than being used by God to be the means through which the rest of us are led in worship of God. And so I want to speak to you. Those of you who are gifted musically, I wish I could play the piano. I wish I could play the keyboard. You think Great Balls of Fire was something you wouldn't see anything if I could play it. But I got to preach. That's what God called me to do. My daddy said, if you don't make money running your mouth, you're in trouble, boy. So those gifted to lead worship through music, the first thing I want to say is this, are not incidental but indispensable to the worship of God. This is not incidental. Indispensable. Now, the entire text, as you see in your notes, I have placed there, chapter 12, verse 27 through 47, which describes this worship service at the dedication center, at the dedication of the wall. And as you'll look in your notes, you'll see references to 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, because what that is for your leisure and your study, for the serious students, to go back and look at the pattern God set forth in worship. It's there. This is under divine mandate to David, and it is still relevant to today. And what you will discover is that those who would sing and those who would play musical instruments were absolutely indispensable to the worship service. It was not get this out of the way till we get to whatever you think the main thing is. Now, I told you a long time ago, there was a time when you could grow a great church if you had a strong preaching ministry. Those days are long gone. You can't just do it with a strong preaching ministry. You have to have a powerful worship ministry, and it's the 1-2 punch. But that is not the biggest consideration, because if that's the only thing we're concerned about, then all we're concerned about is a strategy to grow a strong church. And that's not what I'm concerned about. There's a larger issue at stake here when we talk about you and I, through music, worshiping God. And it goes straight to the heart of who you are as a spiritual being. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." That is a verb. That is a command. And underneath that command is what we call participial phrases. A participle is a verbal adjective, and what it means is that when you read that command, "be filled with the Spirit," and you start reading underneath that, it describes to you what being filled with the Holy Spirit entails. And interestingly, it says, "and be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with psalms and spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." I don't know what manifest evidence you want to see of being filled with the Spirit, and there are several, but I want you to know one of them is, if you claim to be a Spirit-filled believer, is that you sing and make music in your heart unto the glory of God. It is not a dispensable issue. It is indispensable to everything we do. Now, we're not a musically driven church. Don't misunderstand us here. I can name a church I think is one of the strongest music programs I've ever heard in another country. But when you get to the preaching, it's weak. And so there's a lot of fluff, a lot of music, but there's not substance there. And that won't last long. See, with the Spirit, you have to have the Word. They go together. And if you give that 1-2 punch, look out. You will see the power of God pulsate into the deepest recesses of humanity. And that's what God intends. So when these guys are up here, this is not incidental. They are getting our hearts prepared for the pinnacle of the worship service, which is the exposition of the Word of God. And I'm not saying that because I'm the one giving it. I would say that if I was a part of the choir or if I were a part of you. Our hearts must be ready to be spoken to directly by the Spirit of God with the Word of God. It is not incidental to our worship. It is indispensable. Are you with me? Say amen. So, that's the first thing. Secondly, those gifted to lead the rest of us in worship through music, watch this, use their gifts to worship God. Kind of profound, isn't it? Look in verses 27 through 29. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to do what? To celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving, with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyre. Okay, we see the musical instrument people. How about the singers, Steve? Verse 28. The singers also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem, and it just goes through all those regions. Look in the last phrase in 29. For the singers had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. You see what's happening there? They have set up their homes around Jerusalem, the worship center of God's people. Now the wall is built. They're protected. They're ready to resume their worship. And those who can play musical instruments and those who can sing, they were sought and brought. And the assumption was is that if you had the gift, you would use it to the glory of God to help the rest of us worship God. Does that make sense to you? Now, I could really guilt manipulate you right now. I could, but I don't operate that way, but I'll tell you the way I will operate. Listen, you might be gifted, you might be busy doing something else. You might have prayed about it in your heart of hearts. God has not led you to be a part of it, and I'm not your mother. And by the way, I trust your relationship with God. And if it's clear with God for you not to be a part of the music ministry here, it will be okay with me. What I will ask you to do, though, as pastor of this church, and this is fair, isn't it? I'm going to ask you, and you know who you are, to get on your face before God and say, God, would you call me to one of the greatest privileges that ever existed among men, to lead others through worship? If you let me know that's what you want me to do, I will surrender and be a part of it. Is that not fair? That's what I ask you to do, ladies and gentlemen. And I will assure you, you will be amazed at what God does. For the life of me, I can't figure out what you would rather be a part of than to be a part of the very people that are used by God to cause others to glorify His holy name. What a privilege. Those gifted to lead worship through music are such. But thirdly, and this is so important, those gifted to lead worship through music personally worship God. Did you see verse 30? When the priest and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. Isn't that something? It wasn't enough just to get up there and sing and use their gifts. Their hearts had to be pure. I think we're all born for drama, in a certain sense. There's performance orientation in all of us. That's fine. It's part of the image of God, how God created you. But it's much deeper than that. This is not about a big show about you. It's about being a means through which God, who has gifted you to glorify Himself and bless others. And one of the greatest ways that you can help others worship if you have that gift is for you to worship. I think some things are more caught than taught, and worship is one of them. When I see you worshiping God, I am just overwhelmed, and it inspires my heart to worship God. Let me tell you what you're not going to get at Temple Baptist Church, and we've lost some people because of this, and this is fine. We don't give anybody prima donna status at Temple Baptist Church. I'm sorry as I can be. I know you're a star and we ought to be all wild, but you're not going to get prima donna status here. It's not about you. It's about God. We're not going to put up with a lot of arguing about who gets the solos and the cantata and all the rest. That's all ego issues. You surrender to the cross. God, you work that out sovereignly as you want it worked out. I've even had, she's not here anymore, but I asked her one time, I said, boy, you really blessed me with your song today. And, you know, you might think she'd be a little deferring. Looked at me and says, well, God just gave me this gift, and He expects me to use it. Well, you weren't that good. I remember another one time. You remember when Sandy Patty was real popular, and all these people were singing Sandy Patty songs? You know, everybody's singing them. And this lady came up to me one day, and I said, boy, that's a great song. I just thank you for blessing me with it. She said, well, it wasn't me. It was the Lord. I said, well, I heard him sing that through somebody else last week, and he did a lot better. No, not really. That's just what I thought. Take the compliment. It really isn't about you. You don't have to worry about us. We're not going to get carried away with you. Our eyes is on the King. Trust me. But you see, when you are authentically, personally worshiping, it makes all the difference in the world. There was an individual that used to sing here that I was absolutely wowed by their singing and by their gift. I always had assumed it was by a sincere motive. Later, I found out it wasn't. They left the church. I didn't see them for a couple of years, and I was at a funeral where they sang, and it was a song they did that I had heard them do before that had before wowed me. This time had no effect because the content was gone. The life did not back up the song. I'll tell you something else. I was in seminary, and I had to take a two-week course as a preacher called Music Appreciation. Are you kidding me? And I'm sitting here and I've got a bad attitude. You got a whole lot to overcome with me. And this lady gets up and walks across the stage. I'm like this, oh, what's this? And she goes up to the piano, no introduction, doesn't say anything, very humble, sits down, starts tickling the ivories, starts a medley. This song, that song, the other song, then she breaks in, there's something about that name. I'm going to tell you, before that woman got through, tears were flowing down my my cheek, and I was in worship before God. Why? Because she was personally worshiping God, and I got caught up in it. Oh, folks, if you're going to sing, be true, authentic worshipers of God, and watch how God uses you with the rest of us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're going to love this one. Those who are gifted to lead worship through music are a part of a choir that sings anthems to worship God. Oh, where'd you get that, preacher? Give me a break. Verse 31. You ready? I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I've been to Jerusalem. You can walk around on top of the wall. I also assigned 2 large choirs to give thanks. What size choirs? Large. One was to proceed on the top of the wall to the right. As you'll read this, you'll discover that was led by Ezra the scribe. And then look in verse 38 with the second choir. The second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. I followed them on the top of the wall. Well, who's right in this? Nehemiah. So you got the picture? Around the right is a large choir led by Ezra the scribe. Around the left is a large choir, followed by Nehemiah, and they're going to meet in the worship center to begin the worship and praise of God. Can you imagine them marching on that wall, 2 large choirs singing to the glory of God? Now, there was a move in the early 80s to dismantle all choirs. Choirs have come and gone. They're no longer relevant. And the thing I couldn't figure out, from the time of David and Asaph, they've had choirs. What new knowledge do you have? It's going to go against everything God's ever done. What's the deal with the choirs? So I talked with Mark about it. I said, you've heard this new philosophy. Do you buy that? He says, no. I said, well, I don't either. I said, let's keep the choirs. I love to hear an anthem that's clear. Four part harmony, bass, tenor, soprano, alto, and everything in between. When they're singing a message, you're sitting there and it gives you chill bumps. I love it, and I believe in the power of God moving through a choir. How about you? Now, I've noticed something about a choir. The more voices, the larger it is, the better it sounds. Now, listen to me. I know some of you have looked up here and said, well, you know, it looks pretty full. Where would I sit? Is that a problem? I've seen others say, well, you know, they've got so many gifted people up there, they don't need me. Oh? Well, let me tell you what's about to happen. We're about to move into a new building that's got a huge stage. And if we don't expand and give God our best going over there, our present music ministry will be swallowed whole on that stage. And I believe that is not giving God our best. And I believe if every gifted individual will be a part of what God has called us to, I would love to see it so huge over there that you had to get in line just to join the choir, because so many people at Temple Baptist Church are wanting to worship and glorify God. Would you like to see that? Let's give the Lord a clap offering. It's your time, and if enough people take me seriously and pray, it will be there. And we won't rest until it is. Because tell me something. I want a little feedback. Does God deserve our very best? Amen. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifthly, those gifted to lead our worship through music are under the direction of a gifted leader who heads up worship to God. You with me? Look in verse 40. The 2 choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God. Nehemiah says, so did I. And then look in the last sentence in verse 42. The choir sang under the direction of Jezrahiah. Keep your place right there and look over in verse 46. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the singers and for the songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. Notice what he says there. For long ago, King David, the singer of psalms, King David, who appointed Asaph as one of three musical guilds to lead in the worship of God at the tabernacle, at the Solomonic temple, now at this temple. As long as that, there had always been a gifted individual that God had given His people to lead in both music and song regarding the worship of God. And can I submit to you today, we have a gift from God that has been sent here to lead our worship. His name is Mark Galbraith, complimented greatly by his beautiful wife, you know, Allison. And let me tell you something about that. When you're fresh out of seminary, you got to have a church that's merciful. I went to Macedonia. Those poor people, the first couple of years, I don't even know how they endured it. But I thank God they did. I was green as a gourd. I had to learn, and there's so much that they don't learn in seminary. You know, every seminary student that graduates wants to go back and teach all the things that they didn't teach you in seminary. And so music has become huge in the last 20 years, and these guys are marketable. I'm just going to tell you the way it is. In other words, I'm being nice, they're expensive. And at the time we were needing a pastor of worship, we couldn't afford those salaries. So one thing that God has given me through the years is I can recognize talent in the embryonic stage. And I knew I needed to find someone out of seminary. The talent was there, embryonic, and have a patient congregation that would let them grow in and own who they are. And so basically what you want to do is get someone fresh out of seminary that has a lot of potential, because, quite frankly, you can get them cheap. And so I told the people, you have to let him develop. There's a lot of things he was not taught in seminary. There's a lot of things you have to learn, and you'll have to be patient with him. Now see, the things that I had with Mark were this. I knew he was a man of God. And I knew he was humble. Quite frankly, he wasn't one of those artsy, pain in the foot people that always busting your chops. And every pastor I'm talking to in the country is having a problem with a minister of music. He walked with God, and I knew his knowledge of music was brilliant. He just had to bring that together and have time to do it. Well, some people don't want to be patient with it. I said, be patient with it. And I watched this boy, this young man, grow into the pastor of worship he is today. And let me tell you, I don't ever want to work with another pastor of worship. I think he's fantastic. We made a pact years ago that we're going to spend the rest of our ministries together because we work well together. We are a team. We are one. And I want you to hear me today that I fully support this man. I'm behind him 100%, not only in what he does, but how he does it, so that when he's presenting this, we are one team up there, and it's going to stay like that until Jesus comes back and beyond. Amen? And let me say while I'm at it, Allison, he could not be complimented better from a supportive wife in ministry as you and with your two beautiful children. It's just the whole package, and we couldn't be happier for you guys. We really couldn't. We just thank God for both of you, because I, more than anyone, really know just how much of a team effort this is. I could not do what I do without my wife, and neither could he. We both outmarried ourselves, and we just go ahead and admit it. Amen? All right, two more very quickly. Those gifted to lead worship through music, enjoy leading the sound of celebration as God's people worship God. Look in verse 43. I love this, and I want you to really listen to this. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. You know what that means being interpreted? They were loud. They cut loose and worshiped God. Let me make sure you understand what our philosophy here is of worship. I don't know what your background is. I could care less. We have a large constituency of different backgrounds here. In this worship service, or any at Temple Baptist, you are free to express yourself as God leads you. If you want to be animated, go for it. If you want to be quiet, go for it. The quiet shouldn't judge the animated, and the animated shouldn't judge the quiet. Listen, why don't you stop being somebody else's mama and let everybody worship God in the way they feel comfortable to worship God? Because He's going to be worshiped. See, I know you can worship God out on a boat. I know you can walk in nature and see Jesus. But there comes a time when we need to be with other people of God to worship Him. Because see, there's something, C.S. Lewis said this a long time ago, there's something incomplete about worship until those you love share the joy with you. I recently have a dear friend. She's fallen in love. She doesn't walk anymore. She skips. She doesn't talk anymore. She sings. And so she wanted to invite me over to supper. Why? Because she wanted me to meet her new Christian stud muffin. See, there's something that's not complete about the joy until those who love her share in the joy with her. That's the way it is. How much more when we treasure God that we want to meet together and worship God in spirit and truth in whatever way we feel comfortable to worship God. And I insist on freedom of expression at Temple Baptist Church. Celebrate the Lord thy God. One more and I'm through. Those gifted by God to lead the rest of us in worship through music, quite frankly, are to be provided for. Their ministry is to be provided for by those who are blessed by their ministry. Woo. You on tithing again? Yes. Verse 44, at that time men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for contributions, first fruits, and tithes. From the fields around the towns they were to bring into the storerooms the portions required by the law. For the priests and the Levites, for Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and Levites. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did also the singers and gatekeepers, according to the commands of David and his son Solomon. 47, and finally, so in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portions for the singers and gatekeepers. They also set aside the portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron. What did I just tell you? Some of our money is to go to the music ministry. Now guess what? I'll let you guess. How much money did we hold off on spending and putting in our new sound system in our new facility? None. You're flat broke. We got it all. You mean you spent? Yes. You spent when you didn't have? Yes. There's not any left? No. Spent. State of the art. It's for His glory. I want to hear it. How about you? I want it to be clear. I want to hear some static. It ain't a karaoke. I want to hear it sharp, crisp, clear. I was told by everybody that would get a message through me, man, let the money rip when it comes to sound system. I want you to know it's state of the art when you go over. Make no apologies about it whatsoever, because our God deserves the best we can give Him in worship and praise, and He's going to get it. Let's stand. I don't know if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but I know how to lead you to Him. I don't know what you're looking for in the church, but if God has moved upon your heart, I wish you'd commit here. This is what this time is for. During this invitation time, you can come down this aisle. I'll meet you at the front. I want to ask the rest of you this, to pray. If God would have you involved in the music ministry of this church, whatever capacity, and if you have no gift whatsoever in that area, that you will pray for the worship ministry of this church, because we need your prayers. And I'm going to ask you to take that very seriously, because I want the greatest days of praise and worship that have ever hit Eastern North Carolina to be resounding at Temple Baptist Church unto the glory of God. Can I get a testimony? God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have delivered the burden you've placed on my heart. I now commit the results to you. And all of God's people said,